got cooked.
Oh, Bob Cobble?
Yeah. I hear a question.
Fine, I don't know who it is.
Oh, not bad, it looks like everyone's here. Where's the soda?
Nelson, soda! Soda!
Okay.
Ravi, what's that saber under the saber?
I don't know.
The original?
What's that?
I really wonder where the page connected to that saber is.
Pick the right one, pick the wrong one. Who knows?
Okay, three stories. I forgot my story.
What was the other one?
Eichas. Shkayach. Thank you everybody for coming. So, I have an interesting topic, and I think it's applicable to everybody. I'll tell you when to bring out the secret weapon. Hold on. And I start the perspective from a first-year guy just within his first few months here in Yeshiva, in Beis Medrash. But it would continue to a second-year guy who thought the second year would go easier. Third-year guy, fourth-year guy, you know, been there, done that. I think the opening is applicable to everybody. You know, we're at that point now where we're post-Sukkos. Okay, there'll be a little break for Hanukkah, a little break for an Erev Shabbos after that, v'chulu, v'chulu. But we know there's 7 months from Sukkos to Pesach. 7 months before, you know, between really significant breaks. And it's a long zman. And when you check the top of your page, which you don't need to check it, you just know it from every word you read, is we aren't exactly learning the easiest Masechta in Shas. Yevamos is far from the easiest Masechta. And there's so many things that are interconnected. And I can imagine the look on a guy's face when all of a sudden they're up to some part of, you know, and share their hockey about something. And then the Rebbe says, oh, this is Nogea, that thing we did, you know, in Elul, by, you know, that Rav Shlomo over there, that Rav Chanan over there. Like, oh, no. Like, that's a good, that part, I didn't get that one the first time. Now, I need that as a building block for the next time. Yikes. And then there's chicken on Sunday night. And then there's chicken on Sunday night. At a certain point in the year, you get into this rut of it just repeating itself, Groundhog Day, every day again and again. Just the same thing, again and again. And it's just too much. It's just too much. And there are some people that outright admit to this. There's some people that keep on trudging on, but they don't admit to it. But, you know, it's in there. It's part of human nature. It's not easy to be mechazik b'chol yom in Limud Torah, in being yeshiva bacher. That's why we get paid the big bucks, right? It's not an easy job. And, you know, it's a type of thing which, you know, I'll say the line. The line's on tape. It's okay. Current, yeah, no, it's okay. It's too many, 55 of these to pause. But Kananahara, you know, Yevamos is tough for everybody. Obviously, guys in 12th grade, it's not so easy either. And different things are going on. Don't have to go into all the drama. But if you guys would talk to me, like, Rebbe, yeah, I don't know, maybe this year's not for me, I'm just going to take a job. Now, obviously, as a Rebbe, you don't want to hear that coming out of the mouth of a 17, 18-year-old guy. But that is something that the older you get, the more it creeps in. Hey, you know, people sometimes, you know, don't know what they tell you. In Chavetz Chaim, it's not the pshat. You come to the yeshiva, you sign up for a plan, and you're stuck forever. Not true. Not true. You come to yeshiva, and really yeshiva is, you know, what have you done for me lately? If a person hits a rut, and a person's not feeling it, you know, he could have had big plans, but he... The challenge of a rut and being in, you know, finding it hard to get through a day in yeshiva leads to a person to question himself, am I really, quote unquote, cut out for this? And that's when people have, usually with themselves, hopefully sometimes with the Rebbe, these conversations like, hey, it's like learning from me, this for me. That's a big deal. That's an important conversation. And what I aim to do today is to infuse a little chizuk into Limud HaTorah. Last time we spoke about Musar. Okay? But today's vod, I want to talk about Limud HaTorah and how we could infuse some excitement, some chizuk into the daily routine, which could be a drag day by day, week by week, month by month, 7 months, yikes. It's a long time. So how do we do it? So I have a plan. And let's try. So first I'm going to begin with a piece, Stamus Gishmaka piece to know. I made copies of it. Daniel and Tios are much better than me making copies, so I chopped off like part of the right side. But it might be the most famous piece of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky inside his Sefer Emes Yaakov. Disclaimer for all those Chavetz Chaim Mosmochim listening to this VOD, I'm saying over this, I'm going to tell the guys, or both sides, this is Lav Davka Amuchach Shmuz, but you do know that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was a Talmud Slabotka of the altar, and he's very close to Rabbi David, so, yeah. I think there are parts of this which are Mochrach, and maybe I'll try to point that step out. So he has a Gishmak, is a few Gishmak Akashas. We know in this week's Parsha, the beginning of the Parsha, Yaakov Avinu falls asleep. There's significance in that. He didn't do that for 14 years. Rashi makes a point that for 14 years, by Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever, he didn't sleep. So Rabbi Yaakov makes a cheshbon. Chazal say that firstly, Yaakov Avinu missed out, kibud al v'ein by his parents, for 36 years. But these 14 years when he's learning Shem Ve'ever did not count against him as a lack of kibud al v'ein. It was only the 22 years that he was working by Lavan that counted against him. And that's why Chazal say Yosef was missing for those 22 years. We could go into exactly why that was a tain on him. But Rabbi Yaakov's first step is a choritz mochrach, and that I agree, that these 14 years that he was learning in Shem Ve'ever were such essential years that there's no tain on Yaakov Avinu for a lack of kibud al v'ein. The other 22 years, there's a tain to whatever degree we have to understand. But the 14 years Shem Ve'ever, that was absolutely essential. So Rabbi Yaakov makes another step. Wait, time out. How old was Yaakov when he left to go, you know, left his parents' home to be on the path to get married, which he took the 14-year detour. But how old is he when he left his parents' house? 63. Close, 63. 63 years old. So then he learned for, right? Now, 63 years old, Yaakov Tainis, he started learning by his father, started yeshiva at age 5. So he was basically learning 58 years. It was 58 years in yeshiva. How many cycles is that? He went through Yevamos a few times, no? So Yaakov Avinu learned for 58 years. His parents tell him to go get married. And he decides, you know what, time out. I need a 14-year detour. Excuse me? You're 63 years old. You're taking off now another 14 years to go to the Chavetz Chaim yeshiva? Learn, like... What's going on here? Why are you doing this? So, Yaakov Kamenetsky says it's posh, you have to say Yaakov Avinu at 63, after 58 years of learning by his father, by his grandfather, was a gadol, huge gadol. Why do you need another 14 years? And don't just tell me, oh, you don't know what another 14 years of Torah would do. That's not Mustafa.
We said Shemaina was like a chabur as opposed to a chavrusa.
Oh, who says that?
ATL.
Huh? Oh, where did you see this by? Rabbi Lubin?
By Rabbi Winter. Yeah.
Rabbi Winter quoted this?
Why? When Yitzhak went after the Akedah to learn.
So it's a different style of learning?
Why did he learn by
Alma? The Atziosif says that? I have to see the Atziosif. Very interesting. Okay. I'm telling you, Rabbi Yaakov. I'm doing a piece by Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov has a piece. His answer is Teretz is Shtei Dinim. There's Torah's Avos. And there's Torah Shem Ve'ever. Rabbi Yaakov sets up that all the Torah qualitatively that he learned by the Avos was a certain type of Torah. Torah of the Avos. Masha Enkein, the Torah of Shem Ve'ever, was a special, unique Torah. And this is the Torah that he needed to go into Golos, to go to Lavan's house, to fight against Esav. He needed specifically a different type of Torah. And Mamela, that's why it was Kedai and the right thing to do was take a 14-year detour to do this type of Torah.
What kind of Torah is there exactly?
Now, what exactly does that mean? So, Rabbi Yaakov says stuff. This is the part where I think it's obviously a little not so mochrach, especially now I'm getting nervous to quote some Eitz Yosef about learning straight and chaburah. I'm not sure what that means either, but okay. Lamaisa, I think the way I originally understood Rabbi Yaakov is, oh, you know, he learned Torah, but he didn't learn. There was no. He learned Slabotka Musar. He needed 14 years of Slabotka Musar. That's what he needed before he went to Dalton's house. It's different Torah. That Lachor is the way I always understood it. Rabbi Yaakov Kamesi doesn't spell that out, even though he's a Slabotka person.
How?
But what exactly does that mean? But.
What are the Shtedinim?
Lamaisa, to be honest, I don't care what the Shtedinim are. The Shtedinim, but what I think Pshat and Rabbi Yaakov Kamesky is, it's mochrach that there has to be some qualitative difference in Torah. And maybe, like the quote that Eitz Yosef, a different style of learning, maybe. A different type of learning, different focus of learning. But tonight, I want to explain, yeah. I call it Torah and Torah's Chaim. And that's the name of tonight's talk.
Torah
Semes?
No. What's
the takeaway? That's a good one. That's Torah Semes or Torah Chaim. This is Torah Chaim.
What's the takeaway from that?
The takeaway you see from Yaakov Avinu is that the qualitatively was a different Torah that he was missing. And Yaakov Avinu was very comfortable. He was an Adam Gadol for 58 years behind him. He was 63 years old. But there was a certain type of Torah. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky calls it Torah Shem Ve'ever. You could call it Torah Slabotka. You could call it... I'm calling it Torah Chaim. Now, what exactly is this Torah? So, this... I'll pull up... Came across a shmooze once. Good shmooze. I think it's a shmooze. Yaakov Avinu tells the brothers, after they found Yosef, our Tir Gezu B'derech. So the Yalkut Shimoni says... Yosef Lachif, oh sorry, Yosef says to the brothers, Al Tisask Mudvar Lacha, Shema Tirguzul Lamadarech. Right? Don't get involved in learning, because then you might get lost. Aye. Don't you have to do it? Because Shneidabim Alchemadarech, Ain them Divrei Torah, reading the Slarif. Don't? Lakasha, Gamigas of the Yune. So, Rav Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi has a kasha that Pela Otzum Lomulos Asik B'Dvar Alach B'Lirigos V'chi Efsher Lis Asik B'Tor B'Lirigos. Right? Yosef is telling the brothers, you're going back, I don't want you to get lost. So don't learn. Don't do Ian. Because you do Ian, you're going to get lost. You're going to get mamish all Fahist, you're going all revved up, you get into fights, and you're going to miss the exit. So don't do that. Don't learn. Don't do Ian. So Frecht and Baruch Mordechai, why can't you just tell them, learn, but keep it cool? So Zalk of Baruch Mordechai, a signature vort, says, because that's what learning is about. Learning is all about getting excited about the learning, learning emotionally becoming a part of you. And then Mela, yeah, you also got the little brothers. Okay, you got to get back. I don't want you to get lost. Don't do Ian, because you're going to do that, it's going to end up, you're going to get really into it. There's no other way. Now, if there ever was somebody who could talk about such a vort, it was this Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi, which I'll explain soon. But there's something very special about learning that captures you. That, there's, I don't know if anyone here watched the video for the Mosmachim. They have a cute video of like, his name is actually Harry, but nice Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Harry, who is like teaching like an elementary school class. And you see Mamash, the excitement that he has teaching that class. And the voiceover that he's talking about is he says, oh, what I learned in yeshiva, the beauty of a marsha, the steps between the lines, that sparkle you see in someone's eyes when they chop something. So that there's something magical about learning. It attracts you. It like has a hold on you. Okay, not so easy to get to that. We'll talk about how to get to that. But there's something super special about learning. If we're able to attach ourselves to that special, that Torah Chaim, a Torah that's alive, I would dare say once a week. Okay, you're a druggie, you need it every day. Great, get it every day. Let's see, figure out ways how to do it. But if you get that type of learning on a weekly basis, you won't be in the doldrums. Even with chicken every Sunday. Even with your vamas. Even with the chavrusa, who knows where he is. Even with the dorm looking like what it is. Packed. Lamaisa, the magical element of learning that's alive, the Torah Chaim, it's alive. It's in you. That's amazing. Now, okay, I'll tell you one story from a guy here in yeshiva. I have to go. I have three Baruch Mordechai stories. And I beg, you know, some people might have known. Some of them, I don't think they know all three of them. Okay, maybe. But there's a guy here in yeshiva who recently was, okay, learning the Halakha Sefer Shema B'nei. And saw the footnote. And he was like all excited. Like he saw this thing there. Like, wow, like, you ever hear such a thing? And he showed it to me. Taka, I was also super excited. I heard vaguely once about it, but I definitely didn't see it the way that it was said in that footnote of the Shema B'nei. Even though I've been through basically most of the Sefer, I didn't exactly see that. And the guy was like excited about what he found. So I'm a center for excitement. So, yeah, Rebbe, you see this? I thought I was excited. So it's pretty cool. The guy himself was excited. And when you're excited about something, when you spread it, that only spreads more excitement. And then when he told to Rebbe that he gets excited too, so then it's like lightning hitting you like back and forth. It's more excitement. Remember I had the schuss to go to Shalom Zohar, I think two weeks ago. And there's an older Talmud Chacham there. Older man is Talmud Chacham. He lives in the neighborhood. He doesn't walk out, you know, he just goes to Minyan and back. So whatever, I happen to sit down next to him by the Shalom Zohar. And very chashav yid. And he knows me from the neighborhood. He's like all excited to sit next to me. He starts telling me over all different varts on the parsha. So Grada, there are good ones. You know, sometimes people excitedly tell me the varts. I have to, you know, my Moshe Seder. But, no, but these are it was nice varlach. Rabbi Goodman was telling me. And, okay, right, it was very nice. He thanked me very much. The next day, my wife gets a call from his daughter. I'm saying this in public, I'm getting myself in trouble. But the highlight of the entire Shalom Zachar was my father said that he was able to talk to your husband in learning. People have like an excitement. They're able to say over the Torah to someone, I guess, who would appreciate it, someone understands it. It adds to their simcha. Like it was a Shalom Zachar for his great grandson. But the highlight of his night was the fact he was able to share Torah with someone. Why? Because that's Torah's Chaim. That Torah is alive. Rav Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi was the absolute king of this. See, Rav Baruch Mordechai, he was, where do I begin? I'll start with this story. Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi was the coolest Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Chafetz Chaim has warped perceptions of cool Rosh Hashivas. You have to wear, you know, great tight-fitting suits, chups, stuff. What?
Yeah, the yarmulke.
Rav Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi walked around. They say he never wore a shirt without cufflinks. He had a tie clip. He held himself. Grada, that was a story. He once walked by a Maisa. He was closer by Isaac Sher before Rabbi Isaac Sher went to Bnei Brak to open Slobodka. He once walked with him when he was in Hebron. He walked with him, talking and learning to Isaac Sher's house. Isaac Sher, let's walk back to the yeshiva and back and back and back. I asked Rebbe, like, why are we going back and forth? He's like, you're eventually going to be a general in Klal Yisrael. I have to teach you how to walk like a general. His shoulders up, look like a mensch. Everyone, you know, held of Baruch Mordechai was the epitome of Galus Adam of Slobodka, held himself like a king. So one time, Yoni, you'll like this one. One time, the firmer element of Eretz Yisrael, some Kamenetz Yeshiva Bachrim, started making chizik at, you know, the Rosh Yeshiva Teres Yisrael is Rav Baruch Mordechai. Why does he get all dressed up? You know, he's so fancy, like pasnish for Rosh Yeshiva to dress like this. What's going on here? So Chaim Shlomo Leibowitz put this guy in his place. I think the guy said even more mechutzah. It's like we don't see the Rosh Yeshiva's shoes as shiny as Rav Baruch Mordechai's. So Chaim Shlomo said back. I'll tell you a story.
Who's that?
Chaim Shlomo Leibowitz is Baruch Bear's grandson. He was Rashiv in Kamenetz and later also in Panovich. So he said, you know, I remember being in the bomb shelter in 1948. And there's a young Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi, he was a bacher then. He was in the same bomb shelter. And when we had to go day in and day out, back and forth to bomb shelter, that's quite depressing. More depressing than the aforementioned jokes we make about yeshiva life. Day in and day out, to go back and forth, constantly dragging yourself to a bomb shelter. The Yid and Yerushalayim were depressed. He says, I'll tell you what this Bachar Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi did. He went over to every mensch, every person in the bomb shelter. He knew where each person, this guy's a balabas, he told him over a word in the parsha. This person was a lamdin, he started hacking him and learning. This person, he knew, like Rambam Torah, he told him Rambam Torah. He was mamish going as a smorgasbord from person to person in the bomb shelter, telling them each a different piece of Torah that he knew they would appreciate. And Chaim Shlomo Leibowitz said, by the time everyone walked out of the bomb shelter, everyone had a smile on their face. Because that's Torah's Chaim. Torah's alive. Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi was a king. He learned the Ksos was alive. And he had the power to give it over to someone else. Right? Sorry. You pass it on. Right? Passed it on that the next person got it too. And the next person. You're giving life to each person. Lighting them up. Rav Baruch Mordechai was known as like the best bacher in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Right, I think basically right after he got married, he was offered a job at Beli Lapion to give shir in Kfar Hasidim. Doing that, he was also doing some stuff in Hebron. Mamash, a real gavra. He decided himself at a young age, and to be honest, what he's doing, you know, Ur is an amazing organization, but from the descriptions of what Rav Baruch Mordechai Azrachi did without Ur's budget, it pales in comparison. Pales. Rav Baruch Mordechai started an organization called B'nai Torah. What he did was, this thing is that in yeshiva, he was a good rabbi. He was able to get guys in yeshiva into learning, excited about learning. And Mamela, he trained them, okay, I now need you to go out and be mashpia on some secular kid in Eretz Yisrael who doesn't know what Torah is. Ask him that ksos kasha I asked you. Ask him this stira in halacha. See what he says. He taught people how to get a geshmak in learning. And then he sent them out. He had this camp. And he literally made a mapecha in Eretz Yisrael. Eventually, some of these bachrim that he got from secular places ended up back in his yeshiva. He started this, told the Shema, he was working in Chevron. Years later, he eventually had his own yeshiva, and these bachrim ended up by him. There was one time even, he went to Russia, right after the fall of the Iron Curtain. And he brought with 50 machanchim, kira people, and he was able to gather together 300 people in Russia and have a whole program, entice them to get them in. These people didn't know Aleph Beis. But he got these B'nai Torah to do things, just for the record, yeah. He told me the other Girsa. He told them, okay, we're not just putting tefillin on them. That was his lashon. We're going to learn with them. That's what we're doing. We're going to learn with them. And what he did was, he had them, everyone paired up with a person, one and ones, one and twos. Then he gave a share. Again, these guys know nothing about anything. He came and gives a share. What's a share on? So what would you say if you light a fire and it goes and it burns down next guy's field? You lit the fire over here. It went over there through the wind and this. Are you responsible? So he broke it down. Yeah. Chiv of Esh. Esh is considered like your arrow. I started my action here. The action over there is with the wind and it goes all the way there. But you know what? It's as if you shoot an arrow and it goes there. So then he asked these Russian kids, so if that's so, when your mothers, Bezos Hashem, light Shabbos candles on a Friday night, isn't that also the same action like shooting an arrow? So why, when you light a candle before Shabbos, isn't that considered you're lighting a candle every minute of Shabbos, as long as the candle burns? It should be the same type of idea. This is a famous Nemukayos, a famous hak on this. And the whole place, people never learned Torah before, were pilpling and hawking about it. They say from those 300 kids, obviously this was the first step, 200 of the 300 became from. They said he got up on the hill. He had his own, 747. And the Chevra flying back to Eretz Yisrael, he turned to them and he's like, you see from what happened in Russia, this is the only way to do Kirif. This is what the Rishiva used to tell us all the time too. You teach them Torah. Torah transforms people. Now, if you just dryly read with them a Pasuk and Chumash, it could be won't have the same effect. You have to know how to bring out the life of Torah. The Torah's Chaim, okay? But a person could do it. Now, this geshmak, let's go through, elaborate. You know, a guy starting off, first few years in yeshiva, you have to, lav davka, you're going to find your geshmak in Exos Chabura, or something you're doing in Ian. A guy has to find any area of learning that you enjoy and get a geshmak in it. A week cannot go by in yeshiva where you don't find something geshmak. That you're so excited about it, you'll say it over to someone else. So you say, Rebbe, I never spoke Torah over to someone else in my life. Okay, so make believe you're Chavrusa, and he just asked you to read, and you have to read it for him. but I think it's a good chenacha musar. This is a musarva. Is the idea of being able to say over something to someone else just makes it, you know, it has to be something you have to get clear and say it over. Imagine a first year guy says something over to a third year guy, a fourth year guy. Right? We had a system like that. Not in the creating system. But imagine, like, once a week, and a guy who just would say over something, a short thing, could be 2 minutes. Something on the parsha, something you're excited about, something you feel you got, you're conan. That'd be very geschmack. That's part of yours. You remember it. And let alone if it's something that the other guy in yeshiva finds exciting. It's pretty cool. And you know how much stolz it'll be if like a third year guy comes over to a first year guy? Hey, you want to hear a cool thing I saw in Rashi? He doesn't have to be part of the Musa Chabura. You could just tell him over a little vart. 2 minutes. Tell him over. Like, you saw this? That's how you kona Torah. That's how you make Torah alive. And you don't know that little thing in you. It's like insignificant, you know? I'm doing Rabbi Lubensher, and I wrote over all the Vadim and the Shmuzim and this and that. But that little, like, interaction you have with another guy in yeshiva, like, focusing on something and learning, it could be a short thing. That might have made his week. Very geschmack. So that's what we have to do. We have to find things. It could be in Chumash, guys learning Chumash in Rashi. Find something interesting in Rashi you want to share with somebody else. Halacha. Okay, we're all doing the same halacha. But okay, you'll be the shtiki. You'll find something in Dirshu or something in some other sefer. Also Nogia Chanukah or something. And tell it over to someone. Oh, you had halacha shaila. What do you ask the guy what he would do about that? Bekias. Nobody says you could only get your geschmack in Ian. Especially in the first few years in yeshiva. But for care. Learn Bekias, learn it, know it, own it. Chazar. Right? I thought I could go over. But find something. Everyone has, don't settle just for, okay, I'm learning. I'm Yotze. I did Seder. I did the quota. Check. No. This is a different thing. You have to find some part of Torah that you get a geschmack in. Find it. Make sure a week does not go by. You don't do that. You don't skip it. You know, it could be a separate sefer, a separate little thing. But it doesn't have to be. It could be something you're doing. You know, also within the confines of a shir. You know, there are guys, Baruch Hashem, that could get every step of a shir. Shaykh, not so simple. Even the guys, you know, I'll tell you the inside scoop. Even the guys that are good, you know, they know their kashas. They sometimes know the chavrusas kashas. But other people's stuff, they don't exactly get, you know. It's one thing to work on Rabbi Luban's share. You think they're working on everyone's kasha? They really should. But you're not getting every step. So every step you get is an accomplishment in the share. A lot of times we get so bogged down by the big picture and, you know, I fell out, I missed a step. Okay, but tell me something in the sugya you learned, the hair. I started off assuming pshat in my sugya. Sota was this way. Okay, now I see from here it's a little different. Not exactly the same. Isn't that cool? I started off assuming Rabbi Akiva Eger's kasha is like this. Okay, but now I see a little step. Not so simple. Hutra d'chia. How's that work? How's it fit with Abashal? All these little things. Every little thing is a gem. Pasha the gem. You know, I saw somebody. Somebody just came out with a sefer. So they write. You want to give good advice how to write a sefer? He says, all you have to do is write a kuntras. Start with writing a few pages. One of the most inspiring things, you see these things, they're like this thick. There's like 5 pages. But that's something. It's a kuntras. You don't have to start with 700 pages of the ksos. But you start small. A little thing. A little deher. When we were Zeicha a couple weeks ago, we had Reb Chaim Mintz from the Heliga organization, Ura. It's a wonderful thing. Not Reborach Mordechai. Amazing, amazing organization. It was the first time I met Reb Chaim Mintz. Man's a pasha tzaddik. If you paid attention to his Nefesh HaChaim, you saw the man pounds that sefer. There was like 500 bookmarks. And it was very cool. Anyway, so I missed part of yours, but I had my good hocks with him. But by our session, he says, and he like mumbled it under his breath, but I was sitting right next to him, so he got the mumbles. Let's get this next one. So he said, Nefesh HaChaim writes the Shaar Dalad. And he mumbles, it's my favorite piece. The man who mastered the Sefer has 500 bookmarks. This is the one with the smiley face. This is the one he really loves. What's his most favorite part of the Nefesh HaChaim? The description of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does when the person makes a chiddush, a person comes up with a chiddush. Hashem comes and puts a crown on that, those words of the chiddush. Like it goes up the Shemayim, and Hashem takes those words, puts a crown on them. Hashem hugs it. Hashem kisses it. It's all Nefesh HaChaim based on the Zohar. 100% Torah Senes. And then he was Mitzayer, which Nefesh HaChaim also writes. So what's a Chiddush? So we think a Chiddush is, you answer B'Kiv Eger's Kasha. Oh, that's Sheker. What's a Chiddush? A Chiddush is when you get something clear to yourself. That's what a Chiddush is. It doesn't have to be a Chiddush to Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai. It's a Chiddush to you, Nate. Guy from Cleveland. That's all it needs to be. It's a Chiddush to you. The trumpets play, the words go up, the crowns come. Still want to get capes too. I like capes. Right,
Sammy?
Sammy, right? Baby. Huh? Sammy. But those words are royalty. No, Avi or Chiddush? It's right up there. It's amazing. So a person like, now, to be honest, like, I like Reb Chaim Mintz's Nefesh HaChaim. I knew it before. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's a nice, cool picture. But I think it's a more basic reason. You'll enjoy it. When you find part of Torah that you feel connects with you, you enjoy it. That's what keeps a guy going day in and day out, year in year. And you don't need the Chiddush every day. I've had people tell me, you know, over the years, many times, you know, oh, I make it through the week, you know, for the Xos. I said, okay, I'm happy. I'm part of it. I'll tell you a crazy story. This one blew my mind. What am I going to do? I posh did not remember this story. But it was told to me 4 times in 3 hours. And, unfortunately, I had to go to Menachem Avil, a friend of mine. A friend of mine is a friend from Mamish way back. When I was a youngster growing up in Brooklyn, backyards only. And Lamaisa, a horrible story, he was sending shiloh for his daughter, so I decided to fly in for a few hours to Menachem Avil. And whatever. That came on the earlier nights of Shiva, so like every, mostly there was only people on the men's side were Rabbanim coming in. So I ended up knowing all these Rabbanim, but each Rav that walked in, I'm the guest from out of town, so my friend introduced me to all the guests. He said, you know who this is? So I had to hear the same story 4 times. It was a cool story because I didn't remember it myself. So this friend of mine is a chosh of a Baal Bas. He's mamash kovei itim, solid, and lives in Marine Park. Good guy. Basically, he said when we were in 10th grade, so I had a Seder with him every Shabbos for 2 hours. I don't remember this. I mean, now, that once he said it, I vaguely thought I remember. Yes, yeah. He said, we used to learn Chaim Berlin every Shabbos afternoon for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Taka, I plead the fifth, I'm guilty, yeah, I probably did that. Don't remember so much, but you see, he remembers it with only Errol Naras. And then he said, like he said, it's like five, he said that when he was in high school, he wasn't learning. He was not, He actually was supposed to come to Chafetz Chaim. His name was on the list day one. He's going to come with me. But last minute, he didn't. Stayed somewhere local in Brooklyn and didn't have a great experience in yeshiva. He said he didn't learn the whole week. He said the one learning I had all week was learning with my friend on Shabbos. And he said that Pasha changed his life. And like, okay, Rabbi Baruch Pesach Mendelssohn at one point was sitting next to me, so I claimed I didn't remember it. He whispers to me, Ishka, because you probably did it with 20 people. But Lamaisa, to me, that gave me like such a shock that, you can't say with the mumbles, but Lamaisa, you don't appreciate what learning, the effect of learning, of Torah that goes in, right? Look, there's Torah that, you know, you trudge through, but there's Torah that makes an impact. Torah's Chaim. Everyone must find a time, a place, a week can't go by where you don't have something that attaches you, gets to you. If you have that, that's the fire that you could keep in you to burn through the long winter months, even the cold winter days over here in Florida. Sit by the fireplace. But Omaisa, we should all be Zoche to find our Torah Chaim, our Torah that ignites us, and Be'ez Hashem, help others. The stomach, if you help others, it's chus for you too. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zoche that continue shtayek through a long winter.
Amen.
Okay.
All the little tags.
Very shtick. Okay. Good. Huh? There's no Torah Chaim.